Philippians 3, verse 17 is our text this morning. Philippians 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Pressing towards the mark, the theme of Philippians 3, pressing towards the mark is a difficult calling. And the people of God are often discouraged in this calling. We're tempted to say that the way is too hard and ask the question of the Almighty, why is it so tough? And then our hands hang down and our knees become feeble and weak. And so the Apostle gives us here in Philippians 3 teaching on pressing towards the mark. He explains how it is that we're to run this race. He tells us why we ought to have hope. Great hope, for the prize is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so he exhorts and encourages us to press on. He also uses another method, and that's our subject this morning. He sets before us examples in running this race, both himself and others. And we know the practical worth of that too, that godly examples help us in our Christian life. They teach us how it is that we should run. And they encourage us, because when we see someone else running the race, we know that by the grace of God then we can do that too. And so we're lifted up. Brethren, be followers together of me, says the apostle, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Imitating Paul, because the word followers is imitators. Imitating Paul, first, whom we are to imitate, and in what we are to imitate. Now, with respect to imitating, there are three key words in verse 17. The first one is followers or imitators. Brethren, be followers together of me. Imitators, that's very simple. Paul's saying that the church should do what he does, and it should think the way he thinks, and it should believe the way he believes. It should speak the way he speaks. That's what imitating means. At the end of the verse, Paul uses the word example, which is the same thing as an example. He says that the brethren are to follow him, and then they're to notice and mark out those who walk so as Paul was their example. So Paul is saying then, make me your example as you run the Christian race. Take me as your pattern. Set me as a model for this Christian endeavour. He talks also in this verse, and that's the third word, now I'm drawing your attention to, of walking. Mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example. The walk in the Bible refers to our whole course of life. So Paul is saying, in what you do and think and believe, have me as your model or example or pattern, and imitate me in your walk. That's his calling. Now that's a very far-reaching biblical command, to be like the Apostle Paul, to live and think and behave the way he did. This command, though, is not only made here, but several other places in Paul's epistles. We read one of those places in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 15 to 17. In verse 15, the apostle tells the Corinthians that though they have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have only one father. Paul was the father of the church in that he brought them to life and begot them through the gospel in Christ Jesus. And then he says, since I am your father who brought you to birth by the gospel, I beseech you, be ye followers or imitators of me. Children, imitate your father. And then he says, for this cause, that is to help you to be imitators of me, I sent Timothy to you. Timothy's my beloved son. Timothy is faithful in the Lord. And Timothy shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ. Timothy will help you remember the way in which I lived so that you can be imitators of me. And this is the same teaching that Paul gave in all the other churches. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. Paul says to the Corinthians, "Be ye followers," and it's the same word, "imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ." Here we have it again. Imitate me. The previous three verses tell us in which regards Paul wishes himself to be imitated. Verse 31, he urges them, "Whether they eat or drink or whatsoever they do, do all to the glory of God. Be an imitator of me. That's the way I live," Paul says. In verses 32 and 33, he says, "I don't give offense to people needlessly, and I seek to please all men in all things for the profit of other people, that by all means I might bring some to salvation. Imitate me." That's what the apostle's teaching here in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Thessalonians 1, a third passage beside our text, which contains this calling or to imitate Paul. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 and 7. "You Thessalonians became followers or imitators of us," that is, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." You imitated us in that first you received the word, and secondly, you received the word with joy. That's the way we received the word, and it brought us the same persecution and joy. And not only did you imitate us in receiving the word with affliction, and thus receiving joy, but not only did you imitate us, but you yourselves then became examples to all who believe in Macedonia and Achaia, roughly modern-day Greece, so that they were then called to imitate you. And then again, one last passage, 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 7, 8, and 9. "For you yourselves know how ye ought to follow or imitate us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labour and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power," because they did have power, they said that they could have said the church ought to give, to take collections to support them, "but we did this to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us." And so here, following the apostle, imitating him, is working hard. Working hard, that's the key idea here. Not sponging, that's the way we would put it today. So the apostle here is to be imitated in hard labour with our hands. You might think, though, that in our text in Philippians 3 and in these other verses in 1 Corinthians and 1 and 2 Thessalonians, that the apostle is claiming too much. Imitate me, be like me. Is that not pushing it too far? We ought to see, though, that the apostle, in calling the church to imitate him, does not mean it in certain senses. He's not saying this as if he were a lord over God's heritage, as it's put in 1 Peter 5. He's not claiming the rights, as if the tyrant had rights, but he's not claiming rights as if he were a tyrant. And he's not calling them to slavery on their part. "You imitate me, I'll be the Lord, and you can be my slaves." That's not what he means. When he says, too, that the church is to imitate him, he's not speaking as one who wants to form a faction or a sect in the church. Not a matter here of self-aggrandizement. And here you'll think of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where some of the people said, "I'm of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas." That's not the idea here. Paul is not calling the church so he can get certain members of the church to be his loyal supporters, and then he with his faction can defeat another rival faction in the church. It's a very godless way of thinking about a congregation, but again, that's not what Paul's after. We oughtn't think here either that when the apostle calls the church to imitate him, that he has dominion over the faith of men, as 2 Corinthians 1 has it. That you imitate me, and I now have total right and control over you, and I'm going to make up new articles of the faith and hand those down to you so that you believe them, articles of faith based simply on my own authority and whim. The apostle, and no one, and everybody else here is encompassed in this, the apostle has no authority to dictate to anyone what they ought to believe. Jesus Christ has dominion over our faith. He is the Lord, and we're to believe what he tells us. Now, of course, the apostle Paul was one used by Christ to deliver a word, an authoritative word for everybody to believe, but Paul wasn't the one who had dominion over their faith. Christ did. The apostle was simply a messenger who passed on the word of him who sent them. So, be imitators of me. Doesn't make Paul a lord over the church. Doesn't make him the head of a faction. It doesn't make him a tyrant over the faith of others. But you might think, even with those things being said, that surely there's still a little bit of arrogance here. As if Paul says, I am some super person. You ought to be more like me. We ought to note, though, that the text includes the word brethren. Brethren, be followers together of me. And there the apostle puts himself on a par with all believers. We're all brothers. We all share the office of believer. And with the word brethren comes a certain measure, of course, of tenderness and affection. Brothers. We're all brothers here. Now, brothers, imitate me. We ought to see, too, that the apostle has earlier disclaimed perfection. He says in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In verse 12, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. So I'm your brother, and I'm not perfect either. I sin as well. And so when Paul calls upon us, as all Christians, to be imitators of him, he is only to be imitated insofar as he faithfully follows or imitates Jesus Christ himself. And this is the point that Paul made in some of the other texts which I quoted earlier. Be ye followers or imitators of me, even as I am of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6. You are followers of us and of the Lord. The idea is not you follow two people who are totally unrelated, but in that you follow us, you are thereby following the Lord because we are following the Lord. And so there's a chain here, so to speak. Corinthians, Philippians, imitate me, Paul, as I am imitating Christ, and thus you imitate Christ, and as you imitate Christ, that's imitating God. And so we have in the Scriptures commands to imitate Paul. I've already cited those. The Scripture also commands us to imitate the Lord Jesus. Christ himself taught this. John 13, verse 15. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. That's the incident of the foot washing. Matthew 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So we're commanded to imitate Paul. Other commands tell us to imitate Christ. And we're commanded to imitate God. Be ye therefore followers or imitators of God as dear children. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5, verse 48. So you see the chain here would imitate Paul, which is imitating Christ, which is imitating God. And so when the apostle says, be, brethren, be ye followers together of me, that's a call ultimately to imitate the Lord Jesus, and thus to imitate God. And of course this chain, so to speak, can be extended. Paul says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Us. Mark those who follow us. And us includes Paul and obviously Timothy. He's mentioned in the address in chapter 1 and verse 1. Also, Epaphroditus is mentioned in chapter 2 and chapter 4. It may well be that he is one whom we're to imitate as well. I think he is included in the us. And then the text speaks of those which walk so as ye have us for an example. So then there are other people known to Paul and known to these Philippians who imitate Paul, Timothy and Epaphroditus. So here we have a chain. We're to imitate God by imitating Jesus Christ, by imitating Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus, and by imitating those who follow them. And then us, we're to imitate those various parties in the various different senses. And the rationale is very simple. We're to imitate the triune God revealed in Jesus Christ. And then believers who do this and live in accordance with the will of God, well, then we're to imitate them. Because ultimately, it's the same thing. Because when we imitate them in an obedient lifestyle and in their graces, we're imitating Jesus Christ, who gives that obedience and those graces to his children. And you might say, whenever you widen this perspective out a little bit, isn't this what we do anyway? Isn't this even something that we do instinctively? Let's say you're reading the book of Job and your devotions, and you think of all the terrible things which happened to Job, and it strikes you, there's an example of patience. If that had happened to me, how would I have behaved? They were imitating Job. 1 Corinthians 4, the passage we read, speaks of Paul in his many afflictions and persecutions. We read that and we think we ought to imitate him. We ought to be like him. And in fact, when we read of the saints in other ages and when we meet other Christians, we think to ourselves, that person's humble. That person knows more than I do. That person's more long-suffering. That person shows Christian courage. I wish there was more of that in me. I say this is somewhat instinctive in the Christian. And here the apostle puts it in the form of a command. Be imitators. Imitate me. Imitate us, Paul, Timothy, Epaphroditus. And imitate all who walk after us and who imitate us. And so our text calls us to mark those who imitate the apostolic example. Mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example. Note these people. You ought to know who some of these people are. Certain names ought to spring to mind. There are people in the history of the Christian church. If you think of a man, we'll say, as Martin Luther. You think of the virtues of fortitude, bravery, and you instinctively like that man and want to be like him. And there are people too, not only in the history of the church, but people whom you meet that you are to note, mark them. That's someone I should imitate. And the word mark includes the idea of watching and observing, not as some member of the secret police, but nevertheless watching and observing with the purpose to copy or to imitate their godly traits. And of course, in many instances, if not most or all, as you watch and as you observe, and as you do that more carefully, you'll also notice many sins and weaknesses. And when you're marking and noting, overlook as far as possible those things. And obviously, the apostle is urging us to imitate himself and other godly Christians because he believes this is helpful. Helpful for the child of God. The child of God has God's truth in the Bible, and that's sufficient. And nothing which I'm saying here takes away from the sufficiency of Scripture. But when we have God's truth lived out before us by godly brothers and sisters in Christ, that obviously commends Christian piety to us, lived out in the flesh. And that encourages us. It encourages us to press on, that others are living by faith. We're to mark those who walk after the apostolic example and follow them. That's the implication. This means that the Christian, in pressing towards the mark, is not to look to his own weakness in the wrong sense. Whenever we think of our own sins and weaknesses, and we are drawn to confession of sin and Christian humility, that's a good thing. That ought to be encouraged. But there's another way in which people can look at their own sins and weaknesses, and that's simply to use it as an excuse. I'm so sinful, I'm so weak, well, God couldn't mean me to obey this command. Sure, I cannot do this. And then it's simply an excuse to opt out of running the race. We're not either to look at the sins and failures of others as we press towards the mark. Now, I'm not arguing here that you totally ignore these things and are completely oblivious to the sins of other people. We are to forgive and overlook things where possible, but we're not to keep focusing and thinking on the sins and failures of other people. That isn't going to help us run our Christian race. In fact, that's going to discourage us, especially if these sins and weaknesses are exhibited in those to whom we're particularly close, or in those who are in positions of leadership. And then again, people use that as an excuse. So-and-so has sinned in the church. That discourages me. I'm going to throw up my hands in the air and sit down by the side of the racetrack and mope. There's another way that people can be discouraged in the Christian race, and that's by disobeying this command to follow those who walk godly and to turn your mind instead to the wicked and the prosperity of the wicked. To meditate and turn over in your mind how well they seem to have it. But they're getting on and they're making money and I'm not, and poor me. And then the Christian turns aside. And this is the problem, of course, that Asaph had in Psalm 73. And then he went into the house of God, and he understood therein that God was setting them in slippery places, and his focus became not how the wicked seemed to be prospering, but God's house. And then he began to see things clearly and repented. The context, too, in verses 18 and 19 suggests that the Christian ought not watch and imitate false teachers. That's obvious. That's not going to help you run the race. They're a bad example. In fact, the bad example, both in doctrine and life, of false teachers will lead us off the straight and narrow path entirely. So the Christian then will imitate someone. Some people are more self-contained than other people, no doubt, but we all imitate other people to some degree or other, whether or not we're even conscious of it. We must imitate. That's part of our nature as creatures influenced by the world outside us. So who are you imitating then? Who are you imitating? The vast majority of people who live in this world imitate the godless. The unbelieving superstars, the pop stars, the sports stars, the actors, the multi-billionaires, the models. Oh, to be more like them. As if you needed half of their misery. The Christian is called to imitate the faithful saints in all ages, including this present time. Godly church leaders, godly parents, godly believers. Nothing spectacular in that, but that's God's calling to us. And I say that we ought also to imitate godly believers, because this calling, though of course it especially comes to church leaders, is a calling which involves the exemplary life of all Christians, because all Christians ought so to live. And then we come to the question that has probably been in all our minds in this sermon. What about me and my Christian life? Is my Christian life worthy of imitation? Could we say with a straight face, "Be ye imitators of me"? Or do we think that people would laugh us to scorn if we were to dare make such a charge? Say what I say, do what I do, believe what I believe, and think what I think, and you will run the race well. Brethren, be followers together of me, the apostle said, and he obviously could and did say it with a clear conscience. Now, what things ought we imitate with the apostle Paul? We're not called, obviously, to imitate him in his miraculous call on the Damascus Road. He's not saying that everybody ought to have an experience like I had that day on the way to Damascus. We're not either to imitate him in his apostolic office or in his apostolic gifts. He's not calling us to work miracles, raise the dead, speak in tongues, as he did. brethren, be followers together of me, comes in a context. The context has as one great theme, pressing towards the mark. Imitate me as I press toward the mark, and imitate me as I press toward the mark in the way which I have just set before you in Philippians chapter 3. Imitate me in my rejection of false teachers. You must beware of them. You must even warn other people against them and their doctrine. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, says Paul in verse 2. And then he says, brethren, imitate me. Imitate me in this. In verse 3, the apostle identifies true believers and the true church. We are the circumcision, he says, because we have these three characteristics. We worship God in the Spirit, we rejoice in Jesus Christ, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Imitate me in my identification of true believers and the true church. Be a follower of me in this regard. Imitate me, the apostle says also, in my thorough repudiation of all of my own righteousness. That's verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. Be a follower of me, and have no confidence whatsoever in your flesh and in the works of your flesh. Imitate me in calling all of my supposed righteousnesses filthy rags. Imitate me when I call these supposed righteousnesses loss and dung. Think and say that way about all your supposed good works. That's imitating the apostle in this context. And imitate me in my estimation of Jesus Christ as the one who is above all things excellent, and the knowledge of him as that which must above all things be sought. Verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And imitate me, the apostle says too, in seeking your righteousness in Jesus Christ alone, so that you glory in the cross. The cross is where my sins were atoned. In the cross I have reconciliation. Through Christ's death, there I have the forgiveness of sins. And I am diligently pursuing, by God's grace, a righteousness which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And we can imitate Martin Luther as he imitated Paul in this great area. And of course, flowing from this, we must imitate the apostle in seeking the knowledge of Christ, that we might know him and the power of his resurrection, even if it includes suffering for Christ's sake, and it will. As you grow in the knowledge of Christ, you will suffer more for Christ's sake. And imitate me too in my estimation of myself. Imitate Paul in totally disclaiming entire sanctification in this age. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. Imitate Paul in that. And imitate Paul in pressing towards the mark. Following after. Reaching to the things that are before. The finish line and the prize. And forgetting all those things which are behind, which cause us to stumble and fret, become worried and down and discouraged. Press on. That's the way we imitate Christ. And in all of this, imitate the apostle in maintaining church unity. Let us mind the same thing. And let us walk too according to the true teaching which we have received and attained. Imitate Paul in that. Also in verse 16. Brethren, the apostle says, after all these instructions in the first 16 verses, brethren, be followers together of me. Imitate me as I'm running this race. And let us all follow on. So you could summarize that. The Christian, according to this context, must imitate the apostle Paul in his adherence to sound doctrine, and especially the doctrine of the cross and justification by faith alone. Many Protestants do not do this, even in Northern Ireland. Imitate the Apostle Paul in this adherence to sound doctrine year in and year out, no matter what the opposition, because he was always opposed in this doctrine by those miserable Judaizers who wanted to add circumcision and the works of the law to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And imitate me in persevering in the face of all of this opposition. And imitate me, if it could be summed up in one word, in single-mindedness. The apostle says in verse 13, this one thing I do. Imitate me in this. And the apostle uses one little word too, in the English translation, in verse 17. Brethren, be followers or imitators together of me. Together. He's saying that the whole church and every member in the church, collectively, and not just a few or not just a subsection, everyone in the church, together, as a group, consciously, must be imitating me and pressing towards the mark. And they must be doing this in church unity, so that also church unity grows, because everyone has the same purpose. We're all running a race together. We're all doing it the same way. We all understand to be the same race, with the same obstacles, and we're all doing it in such a way that we can help and encourage one another. And so running this race and imitating Paul together is going to make it easier for other people, so that we can encourage our brothers and sisters in that one great calling to press towards the mark. Let's do that. Amen.